Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints online and our traditional communion service. Welcome. My name's Peter Myers and I'm the curate here. And it's wonderful to be with you and to worship today. As normal, we'll be following the words in the service book. If you don't have one of those, you can find the words on the website. You also will be sharing communion later, and you might like to have some wine or grape juice and a piece of bread to be able to share in that, representing the body and blood of Christ. Well, as you see, I'm leading the service this morning from St Andrew's, and it is a joy to be back into our building. I'll speak a little bit more about when the buildings are open and the way forward at the end of the service. But it is a joy to be back in these wonderful surrounds to be able to lead this morning's worship. So let us begin our service. A moment of quiet as we welcome the Lord, wherever we are. Why don't you just welcome the Holy Spirit to wherever you are at this moment. Set the things the world aside and fix your eyes on Jesus. And let me read Psalm 67 before going into our first hymn. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. What a wonderful psalm, and it calls us to praise and lift our voice. And that's what we're going to do now by singing hymn 528. O worship the King, all glorious above. Let us sing. And so we continue our service on page 21 of the service books. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us say together the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the Lord that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Therefore, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And before we say the confession, let's have a moment of quiet, knowing that we've all fallen short. We've all got things wrong this week. But the goodness of God's love for us is that we can approach him with confidence. We can approach the throne with confidence, knowing that we will be forgiven when we confess our sins. So let's just bring to mind. Lord, help us to remember that we have all fallen short. So easy to judge the other and forget ourselves. And so, Lord, we confess and we say together at the bottom of page 22. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for this Sunday. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin, and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now we're going to continue our series in Psalms, and we're going to have Psalm 27 read to us by Jutta, and then Dave is going to teach out of that psalm on the whole topic of trusting our God.
Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
I'd love you to get your Bibles out, and it would be lovely to have this psalm in front of you, Psalm 27, as we look at it this morning. First, let's pray. Lord, we invite you by your Spirit to minister to us through these words. Come and speak to us now, we pray. Amen. Many years ago, when I was at university, and one summer from university, I spent a summer working at an outdoor centre up in Colorado in the States. And we were helping children do different activities, and it was great fun. But the perhaps most famous of the different activities that they did was what they called the power pole. And the power pole was about a 30-foot high tree stump, which had been stripped of all its branches, at which you had to climb up. And then when you got to the top, you had to go from sort of crouching, holding it, to actually standing upright on the top, which was about sort of about that much space for your feet. And when you were standing on the top, what you had to do then was to jump out to catch a trapeze, which was about 10 feet away from the top of the tree stump. And so I can remember distinctly just about managing to get up top and then standing on the top of this tree stump with the tree stump waving all around, all over the place and wobbling all around. And as I looked down, I could see that the ground a long way down, and I found myself paralyzed with fear, just far too afraid to jump out and take that leap I had to get to the trapeze. And I stood there for several minutes until what I did was I looked up. And when I looked up, I saw above me the safety rope, the belay rope that was attached to my back and attached via a pulley to somebody down on the ground below. And as I looked at that and reminded myself of the countless other people that I'd seen jump off that safely with the safety rope there, I managed to let my trust in the safety rope overcome my fear. And I made a giant leap as I leapt off with my heart slightly in my mouth still, ready to try and catch that trapeze. Did I manage it? Well, that's the question I shall tell you later. But as I was reading this psalm this week, I was reminded of that story, a reminder of that moment of one of my most fearful times in life. And as I was reminded of that, it made me just think of David's situation here. As David, King David, David of Goliath fame, wrote this psalm. Because David here faced many fears. He was at risk of his life. He talks in verse 2 and 3 and 4 about wicked men advancing against him. He talks about enemies and foes who were against him, an army besieging him, war breaking out against him. He had so much to be afraid of. And yet what we read as we read this psalm is of his confident trust in God. In effect, he was looking up to see his safety rope. His safety rope, God himself. And that trust in God allows him to say, with all these things going on, even then will I be confident. We see here David lifting his eyes from looking down at all that he was afraid of and lifting his eyes to God, who he could put his trust in. And I want us to just unpack some of this psalm today as we think of all those things which perhaps we are fearful of. It's been such a fearful time, hasn't it, for many over these last few weeks. And in many ways, many people still are very fearful, particularly those who've been shielding about going out again and coming back to some more sort of normality of life. Many people also are afraid of what's ahead economically. Maybe actually jobs are on the line under threat. Maybe actually it's those fears of, is my business going to survive? Are we going to have enough money to come in to pay the bills? Well, on top of all the fears of normal life, fears of failure, fears of ill health, fears of being alone, perhaps when we've been bereaved. So much in life that we have to fear. But how do we cope with those fears? How do we allow God to give us a confident trust as David had in this psalm? Well, I'd love to unpack it. And the first thing I want to say is that the first thing David does is David focuses on the truth of who God is. And he allows that to overcome and overpower his feelings. Truth before feelings. Right in verse 1, right at the start of the psalm, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" Those lovely pictures, aren't they, of God as our light. Often when we're in fearful times, it feels like there's darkness around us. We can't see the way to go. We perhaps fear stuff that is there that actually isn't, because we can't see it. We can't see clearly. And yet God is our light, a light which brings truth, reveals truth in the darkness, a light which brings comforts in the darkness, a light which shows the way. Lord is my stronghold. David was a great warrior. He'd killed Goliath. He'd fought against lions and bears, and yet actually he doesn't rely on his own strength. But he says, "The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is my salvation. He is my rescuer." Right at the start, David is choosing to have faith in the truth of who God is and to allow that to overcome his feelings of fear. And then we go on to verse 4 to 4 to 7 particularly, 4 to 6. And what we see here is something of David's real desire. He says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek." I wonder what we would finish that that sentence with, I suggest for many of us it's maybe we seek safety and good health and comfort and peace for our families and prosperity. But actually, what does David say here? One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You see, his priority, his biggest desire was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Was to be with God, was to be in God's presence, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, it talks about. In other words, he longed to be in God's presence. He longed to dwell with God. And what happened when he spent time dwelling with God was that actually he reframed his perspective. He perhaps saw things from a heavenly perspective. He saw, as he gazed on the beauty of God, the character of God, and he focused on that, focused on who God was, which allowed him to see his troubles and his struggles and those things that he was afraid of very differently. And actually dwelling with God, he then knew the truth of that peace that God can bring, that refuge, that strength, that shelter of who God can be in times of trouble. And it's a reminder, isn't it, that actually if we want to be people who overcome our fear, is we need to be people who are seeking God's presence, who are spending time dwelling on God's word, dwelling on the truth, on the character of who God is. It's when we dwell in those things, when we dwell in God's presence, that our perspective is changed, that we can then allow truth to overcome our fears. But then what we go on to see in verses 7 to 12, perhaps, is that actually his confidence begins to waver. He that confidence which he seems to have in the first six verses is almost a bit of a different psalm now. Some commentators even think that actually this might have been a separate psalm and these two have been stuck together because actually they're so different. But isn't that the reality of life for us sometimes? That sometimes actually we can be confidently trusting in God and we can say, yeah, God is there for me. God is my rock. God is my refuge. And at other times we can be plagued with doubts and we can just start looking down again at those things which we're fearful of. But what does David do here? He cries out to God. He tells God his fears. He tells God, he says, don't reject or forsake me. Don't turn me over to the desires of my foes. He's crying out, continually crying out to God. To say, God, this is how I feel. Come and save me. And sometimes, particularly if we've been grappling with things for so long, maybe it's a bereavement that we're still trying to understand how God could let it happen. Perhaps if it's an illness that we have, that just however much we pray that actually it doesn't, God doesn't bring healing, or it just doesn't seem to get any better. Or maybe it's other things that you've grappling with for such a long time and perhaps are struggling with the answers for. You know, that we're still fearful. Actually, the message from this psalm is that we continue to cry out. We continue to look up to God and see God there. We continue to lift our eyes. It's not a one-off situation. It's a constant choice to choose to look up to God and cry out to him. But then towards the end of the psalm, David sees again the truth of who God is. He gains his courage again. He gains his confidence again. And he finishes with those words, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. and wait for the Lord. And sometimes trusting in God is actually learning to be patient. It's learning to say, I will wait, even though I might want things right now, but I will wait for God. I trust that he's in control, even though I may not understand it. I trust that he's in control, even though my circumstances now are not what I want them to be. But we wait confidently because we know God's character, that he's a God of love, that he's a God of light, of salvation, that he is our stronghold. These verses were particularly important for me several years ago when I was looking for my previous job, just coming out of college, and all my friends at college had found jobs. I was one of the last ones, and I was coming to God and saying, God, why has this happened? Why am I the last one who's not found a job yet? And I was pouring out my heart to God. And just over this series of a couple of weeks, as I'd chosen that I would go up to the college chapel each day and fast and pray and just dwell in God's presence, as I did that, then actually over those couple of weeks, from several different sources, this word of Psalm 27 verse 14 came to me. People would pass it on saying, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. And just as I had gone into God's presence, as I had just spent time with him and chosen to believe the truths where I was fearful, God had been gracious and had given me this word of waiting. Waiting. Waiting in confidence that God would come through. And just within a few weeks of that, yes, I did find where God had called us to be. But God had taught me to wait patiently, to trust patiently for him. And so what about that trapeze? Did I catch the trapeze? Did I grab hold of it in a dramatic leap and cover myself in glory? No, I didn't. I missed it completely. And I ended up half dangling in the air, 15 feet up, caught by the safety rope. But safe. And it reminded me sometimes that actually when we put our trust in God, it doesn't always mean that actually things are going to work out as we might always want. It might not always be a blaze of glory of God coming through. Things actually might be very different to what we'd hoped for. But the reality is still that God promises to be our stronghold and rescue us. That God promises still to be there to hold us firm. Sometimes actually that holding firm, that rescue actually is not in this life, but it's in the life to come. And those words that the psalm starts with remind us so much of Jesus, don't they? And remind us so much of the good news of the gospel, that Lord is my light. Jesus came to be the light of the world, to show us God's way, to shine in the darkness of this world. Jesus came to be our salvation, to rescue us, to make us right with God. He came to offer us comfort and peace and be the stronghold of our lives. And actually knowing that big picture, when things on this world don't go as we might want and as we might hope for and as we even might pray for, we know the big picture of eternity is that God is our light and our salvation. And if we are people who trust in God, who have sought to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, if we put our trust, however strong, however weak, in him, that we have that promise that one day everything will be put right. For the Lord is a God who loves us, who is trustworthy, who will, whatever this world throws at us, rescue us. So I'd love to invite you in the quietness to just be still. And maybe bring your fears at this time to God. Just tell God what it is that right in this moment that you're afraid of. And just cry out to him for his help. And hear those words, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And so I encourage you in that place of offering your fears to God, looking up and seeing God holding on to that safety rope, God being that safety rope for you. Then you can wait with confidence. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's continue just to consider what particular point, particular verse in that psalm might have really struck you. What little nugget could you take from Dave's words and the psalm that you can take into the next week? So let's just ask the Lord to come and stir you and to cement something for you this morning. What piece of learning and revelation did the Lord have for you? So Lord, Holy Spirit, come to each one of us. Help us to take hold of truth this morning. Perhaps during coffee, if you join coffee afterwards, you could share with one another what that one thing is that you will take away into the new week. But now let's confess our faith following the words on page 24. We say together in faith, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We believe in God the Father, who created all things. For by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain. For with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. James and June are now going to lead us in our intercessions. So let us pray.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Loving Father God, greater than we can ever imagine, wiser than we can ever understand, and more loving than we can ever really take in. For your words of life and the decision to come amongst us in the person of Jesus, we are truly grateful. Teach us that you are strong beyond words and eminently trustworthy, faithful beyond comparison and gracious beyond all comprehension, able to do more than we can ever ask or imagine. We are truly grateful. To you we come and pray that you will hear us as we share with you the concerns on our minds and in our hearts. As restrictions ease, we thank you for the joy of human company, for shared stories, friendly laughter, and an appreciation of a new community spirit. We are truly grateful. For those who have found these months a painful time of loneliness, frustration, insufficient resources, and extreme anxiety, we pray for a time of restoration and healing. Please be with them where they are and where they need to be tomorrow. Will you make us aware in a new way of the needs of those around us and be ready to give of our time and our energy with a willingness to listen and to come alongside. Lord, hear our prayer. Jesus showed that to him all lives matter and told us that even the hairs on our heads are numbered. For those in this world for whom beauty has turned to ugliness, food has been replaced by famine, friendship has been forgotten, and fear, hostility and hopelessness have the upper hand, may they know that their lives matter to you. We commit to you those who are marginalised in our own society and beyond, because of their race, their background, or because they're different in some way and just don't fit in. To those who feel they have no voice, and for those who are persecuted for their faith in you, may there come an awareness of your loving care and the heartfelt knowledge that they matter to you. Father, we long to see the good things experienced during the lockdown continue into our new normal, and we thank you for a footballer whose intervention will help children in need. Lord, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for the caring professions, that each may use their training with skill and compassion for the benefit of others. For all those entrusted with positions of leadership and responsibility within local and national government, grant them wisdom in their decisions, courage to hold fast to what is right, integrity in their dealings, and a commitment to the good of all they serve. We pray for order and tolerance, for freedom of speech, for freedom from violence, and that the values Jesus came to bring be established. May those who use the anonymity of social media to stir hatred and dissension be silenced. Within the national and the local church here in Malvern, we ask for help in working out the practicalities of a new way of doing and being church. May we all be supportive as we adapt to new ways of worshipping. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, James and June, for leading us in our intercessions. We're now going to say the peace to one another, which perhaps always feels a little bit odd being apart from one another. But we can always declare peace upon one another, even though we are separated physically, we're united spiritually. And of course, if you're with other people at the moment, then please give them a hug and declare your peace over them. So the peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let us show a sign of peace to one another. We're now going to share communion, and we're going to be doing Eucharistic prayer on page 30. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning, you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You give us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embrace the people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them, you raised up Jesus, our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread, in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and in a love stronger than death, he opened up wide his arms on the cross. And on the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Bring us at the last with all the saints to the vision of your eternal splendor for which you have created us through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, with all who stand before you in heaven and earth, we worship you, our Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. So, as our Saviour taught us, let us pray the Lord's Prayer on page 34. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so as we virtually draw near and share the body and blood of Jesus Christ, let us come together in faith, remembering the truth that we can trust God, as Dave was teaching earlier. If you're uncertain, if you're struggling at the moment to trust and believe, then come in your hearts with faith and say yes to Jesus and ask him to sustain you and to encourage you at this time. And though we are apart, I'm going to say a prayer, an act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, we believe that you are present in the blessed sacrifice. We love you above all things, and I desire you in my soul. Since we cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into our hearts, as though you were already there. We embrace you and unite ourselves wholly to you. Never permit that we should be separated from you. Let us pray the post-communion prayer on page 36. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And the post-communion prayer on this Sunday. O God, whose beauty is beyond our imagining, and whose power we cannot comprehend, show us your glory as far as we can grasp it, and shield us from knowing more than we can bear, until we may look upon you without fear, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're now going to sing our next hymn, and then we will be drawing our service to a close. So let us sing.
His lovely face, I rest on his unchanged.
Sorry, I didn't tell you what we were going to sing, but as normal, the words were on the screen, so I hope you were able to enjoy that. As we sang, "My hope is built on nothing less." And isn't that the truth? Well, as we come to the end of our traditional service, it's been fantastic to be with you. But to elaborate, as you know, here we are in St. Andrew's today, and the churches are open now for private prayer. And do come along. In fact, it is something that you would like to do. As I say, the details will be on our website and also in the weekly mailing as the hours. But there's a couple of hours each day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday, in either St. Andrew's or All Saints. And do come and pray. As you'll also be aware, the government is beginning to give permission to churches to open up for gathered worship. Please be patient with us. We are trying to work out what that looks like, how we do that. It isn't a simple thing at all, not only arranging who and how we're going to lead, but the to make it safe. So please know that we are working on that, and we will let you have news on that as and when. But we're not going to be rushing into anything, and I think that's generally the posture for many churches around and here in Malvern too. But it's very exciting that those things are beginning to be enabled for us. So as we come to an end, let me pray a blessing. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. It's been lovely to be with you. There'll be Zoom coffee if you're able to join us at 12 later today. It'd be good to speak to you then. Take care. Bye-bye.